This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this, another episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast here at thatmomentin.com. I am your host, The Vern, and since we are very close to Thanksgiving, I thought it would be best to talk about favorite holiday movie moments, and what better way to spend the holidays than with another fellow podcaster. This week I have with us Amanda from the Amanda Pictures Show a Go-Go podcast. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Vern.
Hi. Thank you very much for being on the site here. Now, you can always check out Amanda's podcast by going to the site AmandaAgogo.com. I hope I'm saying that right.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right. Now, I love the fact, Amanda, that you have a whole slew of different types of movies on your podcast, from classics to new releases. I just started listening to your episode of the movie Mother with Michael from War Machine vs. Warhorse. Mm-hmm. And I got to check out some of the other older ones, too. We did one on, like, Jaws and I See To Catch a Thief and
yeah,
Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. but tell me, Amanda, I mean, how did you get started with this podcast and just kind of tell listeners about how it came to be?
Yeah, well, part of it was really my husband's idea. We were driving home from going to see a movie, and he was like, babe, why don't you start a podcast? Because you talk about all of this stuff about movies after every movie you see. So why not record it? And the original idea was that we would do it together. And then he was like, no, I'm too shy. You do this.
Okay.
So, yeah, like I love film. I've taken some film classes, and if I had gone to college at a different time, I probably would have gotten a minor in film or majored in film studies, but that was not an option when I started college back in 2004. So, where I was going. Gotcha. But
all right.
Yeah, and I like that you notice I like to cover all different types of movies.
Yeah, I know, and you do what you're saying right there, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't listened to a lot of your shows right there. There's like a lot of podcasts I try to listen to, but you have got like a lot of really great movies on here that I definitely want to check out. And I like the fact that the guests you have on there, at least from the Mother episode I heard, that you have very different opinions about movies. And that's what I love about podcasts, is hearing different mm-hmm. opinions about movies. And so I'm very curious to hear some of the thoughts on these other movies you have on your site. But yeah, so you can always go to the AmandaAgogo.com website. Definitely check out the show she has on there. A lot of great guests. Do you find it difficult to try and find guests to get on your show, or?
No, I don't. I actually started just with like some friends, and then it's gone from there. And then I honestly like every couple weeks have more people asking to be on the podcast.
That's awesome.
Or people recommending others, and then, you know, starting to get more and more other podcasters on too. So yeah, in fact, with Marvel movies, I have people claiming spots, guest spots, months in advance.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you already got the Infinity War podcast put together already.
Yes, I do, actually. A friend texted me yesterday and was like, I call a spot on there. And I was like, all right. That's full now.
Fair enough there. All right. Maybe I'll try and go for Ant-Man 3. All right. I'm going to claim that right now. Ant-Man 3. All right.
Okay.
All right. But we are going to get into our discussion of our favorite holiday movies. Before we do that, we're going to play a few trailers from some other great podcast shows that you should definitely check out, and we'll be right back.
We'll return after these messages.
If you like intelligent and smart movie discussion,
Face is a zombie movie. How did he write a book if he doesn't have an arm?
Or want to hear the latest news on your favorite actor?
Talk some Julianne Moore, I guess.
Whales have more films than Zoe Saldana.
Then check out The Lambcast, where no question is too risque.
Rachel, do you have a mouth?
Check out The Lambcast, the official podcast of The Lamb, the large association of movie blogs, which can be found at largeassmovieblogs.blogspot.com. Si habla español.
Hola y bienvenido a la...
You are about to witness history in the making.
Hi there, this is Todd from Forgotten Films, and if you spend all your time watching new releases, then you need to broaden your movie horizons. And a great way to do that is by joining me for the Forgotten Filmcast. We don't talk about the new releases, we don't even talk about the classics. We talk about the movies that time forgot. On each episode, I'm joined by another film blogger to discuss a film that may or may not be worth rediscovering. So look for the Forgotten Filmcast on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts.
Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with you.
And we are back to the Cinema Recall Podcast here at ThatMomentsIn.com, here to discuss our favorite holiday movie moments. Now, Amanda, I gotta ask you, do you have any favorite traditions with, you know, your hubby, your family, all that?
Yeah, I have a really large family, but I love doing Christmas mornings at my mom's house.
Like, yeah?
Mm-hmm. We still go there every year in the morning at my mom's, and it's like everybody's just kind of wearing comfy clothes and we all circle around and like open presents and stuff. But like she goes full out and she makes breakfast for everybody, like breakfast buffet.
Wow.
And she still, even though all of us kids are grown, like I have nephews, but she still like writes an elaborate letter from Santa to us to read out to everybody. And yeah. It's great.
Nice. Well, our family, we still try and do a movie trilogy each Christmas.
Oh, nice.
So we go to my parents live at a lake house, a resort. And so we'll just go up there and we will have a different movie trilogy each night. And now that some of the kids are getting older, now we can actually have them see like Die Hard trilogies and all that stuff right there. So,
oh, that's awesome. Do you know what trilogy excited. You're doing this year?
You know what? I don't really know for sure. I think last year we definitely showed the original trilogy of Star Wars. And I'm not quite sure. We might do the prequels this year. It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of want to show them the Star Trek movies, at least number 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of Star Trek movies there, but mm-hmm. It's...
Yeah, got to get some Wrath of Khan in there.
Although, one is just two. We did, like, a sort of, like, Christmas horror tradition. We watched, like, Gremlins, and then I think Krampus, and then I forgot the third one. I think we watched The Babadook, even though that's not Christmas.
Oh my God, that movie. I don't handle horror well, like, at all.
I know you don't. I know. But this...
But I've seen The Babadook.
My niece... Yeah, no, my niece is becoming, like, kind of a big horror fan, so we had her watch those movies.
Oh my God. Sorry, I'm like, I can feel my heart racing thinking about The Babadook, because I don't watch that. No, it's okay. I don't watch that for a class, and I was terrified.
I don't blame you. I don't blame at all. Trust me, after the movie, my niece was kind of scared, and me and my brother-in-law, we played jokes on her.
Oh, no.
We basically just did that knock on the door.
I was going to say, did you go around going like, duck, duck, duck?
I did. Because I'm a jerk and I love my family.
I get it. It's not family unless you guys can tease each other, right?
Exactly. So, did you have any sort of criteria for your list of favorite movie moments, holiday movie moments?
The way I went about it is I picked some of my favorites, especially ones that, like, make me cry.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's get past... I'll get to my criteria when I get to my list here, but okay. Let's just start with your number five, and then we'll kind of go back and forth, all right?
Okay.
So let's start here. Number five, what do you got?
Number five. Okay. Quick question. Because I did some with Christmas, like, movie specials, but then I also have some that are just in movies. Like, full-length movies. So I wasn't sure if I was allowed to use the specials or not.
Specials are fine. No, we're fine with that.
Okay. So I would say number five, then, is How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the cartoon, not the live-action Jim Carrey movie.
Thank you.
Because that is a travesty.
That is a major travesty.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I saw that in theaters. But I love when his heart grows.
Aww.
When it goes from too small to too big. It melts me every time.
You know what part melts me is when the Who's? They're all holding hands around mm-hmm. the Christmas tree and they're all singing the song. That's the part that melts me every time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're singing, but hooray, hooray, hooray. I'm not going to do it justice because I don't have the right type of singing voice, but I just love that moment right there. That's just a completely uplifted moment. And my heart grows too big whenever I see that sequence right there. Because whenever I watch the Grinch, I won't lie, I love the fact that he's sort of like taking Christmas away and it's sort of like evil and gleeful, and I get sort of like joy about a little bit.
Oh yeah, when I worked retail, I was like, I'm the Grinch right now.
I know, yeah. But then that little Cindy Lou Who comes down. Aww, and
Cindy Lou Who, who's big eyes. No older than two.
Oh,
she's so cute. I used to have a pink nightgown that looked a lot like the nightgown that she wears when I was little, and I would always say I was Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. That is indeed a great moment. Well, see, for my list, it was difficult trying to come up with moments here because I don't watch a lot of Christmas movies. I just don't. I don't hate them. There's not something I watch all the time. But going through the ones I have seen, I chose ones that stood out and were memorable for me. So for my number five, it's a scene that can seem sweet, but in actuality, it is kind of creepy in a way. My number five, I'm gonna go with Love Actually, the big billboard scene that I think Andrew Lincoln is showing to Keira Knightley.
Oh no, I think that's a perfect scene.
Okay, well, but before that, he was like, okay, he's at his best friend's wedding, supposed to videotape the wedding, and he's just videotaping her the whole time. Kind of stalkery a little bit stalkery, and then he shows up on his best friend's doorstep to tell his wife that he has feelings for her, and yes, it is a totally sweet scene, you know, the cards and everything, and maybe it's sweet because they are both beautiful people. And the sequence right there, because trust me, if it was like a balding, middle-aged guy, a little bit overweight, came to the girl's doorstep, started holding out cards, it would be creepy.
That is a fair point. It being Andrew Lincoln makes it very charming.
Yeah.
But it's just so sweet.
Keira Knightley is great as well.
Yes, yes. And poor Chiwetel Ejiofor upstairs thinking it's just carol singers.
Yeah, just has no idea that his best friend is macking on his new bride. Kind of a dick move, but it is kind of a sweet moment in that movie. There's like probably other sequences that I could put in that moment The bit sort of pageant at the end there, but I don't know. There's something like that. I think this one is probably the most iconic moment of the movie because it's been parodied in other sketches and movies.
Uh-huh. Oh, I loved the SNL Hillary one last year.
Oh, yes.
It was fantastic.
That was good. All right. Well, that was my number five, Love Actually, and your number five was How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Let's move on to your number four.
Okay, number four, I actually have Love Actually.
Okay.
And there are so many that I could pick from this movie. But the one that always gets me is when Colin Firth goes to Portugal to find Aurelia. And he's learned Portuguese incredibly, like, poorly. And she's learned English. And it's like when they realize that they've learned each other's languages, it always gets me.
Okay. All right. Fair enough there.
It's probably because it's Colin Firth and I love him. But.
Yeah, okay.
It's so sweet.
It is a sweet moment right there, but it kind of felt a little bit, I'm going to sound like an asshole saying this right now, but it just felt like a little bit too short, and I never thought their screen chemistry was all that good, at least for me. I know a lot of people really like that moment, and I'm going to be a total bah humbug Scrooge type of guy saying this, and I feel like I'm killing the Christmas spirit there, but I just never fully bought into their characters together. Now, wasn't he like a porn double, like a body double for
films? That's a different character.
No, that's right. That's that guy from Sherlock. Never mind. Okay, I'm thinking about another story there. I'm sorry about that. I don't know why I get those two guys confused. They're completely different.
They're both wonderful.
That's true. Colin Firth and he's in Fargo. Why can't I remember his name?
I know. And he's in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And my friend Jessica loves him and sends me pictures of him on Instagram.
Martin something.
Why? I can picture him.
God, we're bad podcasters here. All right. But no, I think that is a very sweet moment. Other moment, I could definitely pick the kid going after his love right there, the little kid of Alan Rickman.
That was my second one, the airport scene.
Yeah.
For Love Actually. Martin Freeman is his name.
Martin Freeman, thank you. Yes. Oh, great. I thought his story was pretty good too. I liked Alan Rickman a lot. Anything Alan Rickman does in that is great.
I mean, there's a part that always makes me cry in a not heartwarming way is when Emma Thompson opens her gift and it's not the heart necklace and it's the Joni Mitchell CD.
Oh,
yes. She goes in the bedroom and she's just crying because she knows her husband is cheating on her.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
that God. One, like, that one makes me cry every time, but in a very different, not in a heartwarming way.
Yeah, like a sad way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, a lot of the great moments from that feature there. All right, let's move on to my number four. All right, what am I going to choose? Number four. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to do the movie Scrooged. 1988, Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to include the beginning sequence, the night the reindeer died, where a bunch of terrorists invade Santa's workshop, Lee Majors. Great fake trailer they play in the beginning of that movie. But no, the scene that I'm going to pick is, of course, the very ending scene where Bill Murray meets the ghost of future, Christmas future, and comes out and they're playing that song, Put a Little Love in Your Heart by Annie Lennox. And I would think I forgot the other guy's name. But they're at the studio and he's telling everyone to love each other and he's I like the part too where he breaks the fourth wall and he's talking to the audience. He's like, hey, hug that guy right there, all right? You, seeing the lovely Victoria Garden. No, not you, the guy next to you, all right? All right. The guy behind you now, seeing it. And yeah, they're doing the whole carol at the end of the movie. I found it to be a very, very sweet moment in the movie.
Come on, just over here. All right, that's no good. Come on, let's try the other side of the theater. Come on. Well, that, all right, how about just the men? Come on, just the men. All right, the real men. Let's hear the real men. All right, the women now this time. No, the real women. You know who you are. All right, you, who was making all the noise through the whole movie.
Hey, brother, the King of Christmas.
And it just kind of gets you into the holiday spirit. And for a curmudgeon like me, it's when you can break my icy wall of my heart. I've got appreciation for that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Scrooged is, you know, a take on A Christmas Carol. And it's that always, like, you know, when Scrooge, you know, whoever it is, Scrooge or Frank Cross or whatever, like, when that character has the realization, it always is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also would have put the scene too with him and Carol Kane when she just abuses him tremendously. I love their physical comedy banter that they both have. I even like Bill Murray and David Johansen, their scenes together too. Bobcat Goldthwait as the guy who just fired is hysterical. I actually really enjoy this movie. It's something that it's one of those movies I try and watch at least every year if I can.
Yeah.
And now that's available for streaming, it's much easier to do so. But yeah, Scrooged is probably one of my favorite holiday movies ever to watch. So I had to put it in there.
Totally understand.
What do you got for your number three now?
Number three. So this is actually my favorite holiday movie, but the reason it's not number one is I don't feel like it's the most heartwarming, like, holiday moment, but Elf. I love Elf. It is my favorite holiday movie, and I love the part where they're all singing at the park to help Santa, like, get his sleigh off the ground again. Because singing loud for all to hear, you know, helps with Christmas cheer. So I love when Mary Steenburgen starts singing because she is so out of tune and it's adorable. And then finally when James Caan starts singing, and that, like, boosts the sleigh. I don't know. I love that whole sequence. I love the whole movie.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
But to me, that's like the most heartwarming moment in it.
That is a good one. That is a good one, because I do remember Mary Steenburgen starting the scene right there. She's very out of tune, like you said. And then, but it's so earnest and heartfelt, and you kind of still
Yes.
Cheer for it, though, all right?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite moment in the movie has got to be when Will Ferrell and Zooey Deschanel are seen in Baby's Toilet Outside in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's a great scene.
That's probably my favorite.
I have seen that movie dozens of times, and I will still, like, giggle through the whole thing. And I quote it, like, with my family. And when I lived at my sorority house, I used to answer the phone in December, Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? So, yeah.
That's a good one. That's a damn good one. I like that one a lot. All right. How am I on top elf now? You know what? All right, screw it. I'm going to do this, all right? One of the movies that I saw for my birthday when I was about 16 years old was The Nightmare Before Christmas. And I'm going to choose the scene when Jack Skeleton goes to Christmastown. And he does that song, What's This?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant movie. Henry Selick, director, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. Yes, Jack Skeleton from Halloween Town makes his way into Christmas Town, and he does that song. Vocals by Danny Elfman. Just love it. You know, I think it's just brilliant Christmas fable right there. Christmas story, Christmas song, Christmas moment there. He's just so and wondered about everything he sees there, because everything's got colors and there's not severed heads around there. This is just magical mm-hmm. and wonderful for him. And I don't know, it just kind of brings me into the Christmas spirit.
Oh, yeah. I think that song, like, totally embodies the Christmas spirit, because he's just so full of wonder.
Yeah, because yeah, I agree with that too, V. And that's what Christmas should definitely be. You know, if you see one thing for years and years, and then you see something that's completely different, it's going to be like, whoa, all right, this is kind of shocking. It'd be like someone that watches nothing but, I guess, like Transformers movies the whole time. Like, just watch nothing but Transformers movies and Michael Bay movies, and then decides to watch a Tim Burton movie. Just like, whoa, all right, that's different. Whoa, all right. And that's the only way I can kind of describe something like that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I've always got a big soft spot in my heart for that movie. I think it's a movie that I can watch for Halloween, but for me, it's more of a Christmas movie. I know a lot of people say that The Nightmare Before Christmas is more of a Halloween movie. I don't know. Where do you stand on that debate there, Amanda?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I tend to watch it more around Christmas. I got the VHS of it for a Christmas present when I was a kid. So I guess I associate it more with Christmas, but I will watch it any time of year.
That's true. Watch it New Year's. Watch it during tax season. Anytime's a good time to watch some Jack Skeleton and friends right there do their thing. All right. Well, that was my number three. What is your number two?
Okay, my number two is from It's a Wonderful Life. And it's when, for me, like, I know most people pick maybe other scenes as the most heartwarming. And if my mom listens to this, she'll be upset I didn't pick her favorite scene. But I love when George is, like, happy to be alive, like when he kind of comes back, you know, from the alternate universe with Clarence, and like he's just so happy, and he's like going through the town, and he's like, he's just incredibly, again, like filled with joy to be alive. And there's like one scene where he's kind of like going through the trees, like this median, and he's just like kind of skipping almost. And yeah, I just love that part.
You know, I will be honest with you. I have never seen this movie.
Oh, well then I'm glad I didn't say what some of the other scenes were.
No, I know this is one of those movies that I should watch, and everyone has seen it multiple times. I haven't seen this. I haven't seen A Miracle on 34th Street, either version, but that is something I will get on here. I know Turner Classic Movies will play these movies, and I'm going to record them, and I will watch them for one of my sites I do. I'm going to probably post an article about Christmas movies that I haven't watched yet. I think Meet Me in St. Louis is another one. After our list here, after our list, I would need to hear some good recommendations of classic holiday movies that I should watch. I mean, I've seen most of the modern holiday movies, but just not the classic ones. And I do like watching classic movies. I just have not seen the holiday movies, and I'm ashamed of myself, and I'm sorry. My extreme apologies, Amanda.
No, that's okay. Trust me, I can give you a list.
Okay, good. All right. Well, going on to my number two. What am I going to pick? All right, I'm doing it because this is my list. And, no, I don't want to do that one. What do I want to do? Here, right here. I've written down. All right, maybe it's not my... Yeah, I'm doing it because I like this movie a lot. I'm doing Gremlins.
All right. And that was one I have not seen.
I'm doing the scene where the gremlins are caroling. It's just totally out of left field. It's the whole movie looks like a Norman Rockwell painting. I mean, it is essentially a lot like Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life, just from the setting of it, though. I mean, it's a very... Mm-hmm. The Kinston Falls town, very much this wonderful small town set during Christmas time. And then you have these monsters come and invade this peaceful, tranquil town. And the moments when Gizmo first shows up is very heartwarming and sweet. Anything with Gizmo is going to be heartwarming and sweet. But for actual Christmas, when they're all singing carol songs, open the door there. It's a small sequence, but I had put it on the list. I should have put it maybe later on the list right there, but I just like that scene a lot right there. I like the scene of the gremlins caroling because I didn't want to spoil my number one just yet. All right. So I'm going to save that for my last pick there, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Gremlins, I think the whole movie is essentially a Christmas movie. It's set during Christmas time, all right, with these horrible monsters that come along and they run amok. I would have chosen the scene, too, of Phoebe Cates. Oh, you haven't seen the movie yet. Okay, well, there's a scene where Phoebe Cates describes about Santa Claus and coming down the chimney that's kind of twisted and disturbing. And I'm kind of surprised it made its way into a Steven Spielberg PG movie. I know this is the first movie among others in 1984 that made the PG-13 rating. Because this one does have some gory sequences. I showed my niece this movie when she was about, 13 at the time right there when we watched this. And even she was a little bit taken aback by that. And there are other themes in the movie that I totally forgot about. Like, oh, crap, this is not really appropriate for young kids. Why was my parents let me watch this movie when I was younger? All right. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just a big fan of Gremlins, and it's one that I can watch either for Halloween or for Christmas. And I think it is, as much as it is a horror film, it's still very sweet and heartwarming. Even if you don't like horror films, Amanda, you can handle Gremlins.
I've had a few people tell me that in the past year or so.
Okay.
So it might happen as a podcast eventually.
Okay. There, I will say this, though. There are a few moments that get kind of gory in a way, but not super... It's not Saw gory.
Okay. Yes. I'm not into Saw slasher flick things.
No, it's not like that, all right? But it's like, I don't know, like below that, but it's like it's teetering on that a little bit.
Okay.
All right? That's the best way to say it without any spoilers, right? But moving on there, what is your number one?
My number one is Charlie Brown Christmas, when all of the kids come out and they help decorate Charlie Brown's Christmas tree and sing.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got the poor little tree, and then once they decorate it and make it, it's beautiful, and then they're supporting Charlie Brown.
I like that. I even like the sequence, too, when Linus is telling the story about the three wise men and the birth of Christ and all that. I like that. Mm-hmm.
That was like my second moment that I really like. Even if you're not religious, it's just, like, so powerful the way that he's, like, on stage telling the story.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's been several years since I watched this. I know, like, way before there was, like, streaming TV and the special came on, you had to be there to watch it. Otherwise, it was gone. And so I remember growing up seeing the special, like, every year. Mm-hmm. And then I think last time I saw it, I had been about 12 when I last saw it. So it's been many, many, many years since I did see it, though. I don't know if the nieces and nephews have saw this feature yet there. It's something that we should show them, but I have a feeling that they won't get into it.
Really? I don't know. I guess, you know, it is from the 60s, but, like, I don't know. There's something about it that's just so great. The whole special, and, you know, one of my nephews is staying the night with me tonight. I'll have to ask him if he's watched it, because I don't know for sure. But, yeah, like, I still watch it every year. Like, I'll DVR it, and then I'll play it while I'm, like, wrapping gifts.
Oh, nice. Okay. Oh, but you know what I mean? Like, back in the day, too, when specials came on, you had to be there for it, though. You had, like, get things set up, and I think that they'll start watching it, but I think it's because it's hand-drawn animation and they're so used to computer animation. I mean, they grew up with computer animation. I mean, those are the first movies they saw. So whenever they do see hand-drawn animation, they watch it, but they don't get much into it, I guess. It's kind of like us seeing color cartoons and then going back and watching cartoons from the 30s when it was all black and white. You know, like, now I can appreciate it, though, but when you're a kid, you just want to see the stuff that you're used to.
You want the flashy thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Shit. But yeah, no, I think that it is a great moment. Definitely a great holiday special. All the Peanuts holiday specials are good. It's a great pumpkin. Charlie Brown, another great one. Every time they do a holiday one, I think they did one on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't like that one quite as much because it's not really Peanuts. They're, like, telling the story of the first Thanksgiving and the Mayflower. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, give me the Peanuts kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. All right. Well, my number one is not going to be a Christmas movie. No, it's actually going to be a Thanksgiving movie. And I'm going to choose Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I have never seen that movie.
It is good. John Hughes directed with John Candy, Steve Martin. Anyways, the story is about John Candy plays, like, Neil Page, who's this advertising executive, has to try to get his way home to his family, and nothing goes right. His plane gets canceled, and he ends up meeting John Candy's character, Dale Griffith, who sells shower curtain rings. And the two of them have this great road trip together. It's really great. They don't get along because Steve Martin is just, like, very uptight Wall Street executive, and John Candy's character is a blue-collar worker, and they just don't see eye-to-eye on many things. It's hysterical. But the moment I'm going to pick, and this is going to be slight spoilery, but I'm not going to spoil it for you, Amanda, when Steve Martin's character is on his way home, and he thinks about something that John Candy's character tells him, and he has to think about the words that he uses, and then he realizes that, oh, well, this guy's all alone on Christmas, and he goes back, and he invites him over to his house for Christmas, and it's a very sweet moment. They play the song, "Every Time You Go Away, You Take a Piece of Me With You." If you know that song from the 80s, I forgot who does it. And yeah, but it's just a very, very sweet moment, because Neil is back with his family. He's not the same curmudgeon guy he was at the beginning of the movie. It's a good transformation of both characters, actually, because John Candy's character is kind of a slob, and, you know, he's not very respectful of Steve Martin's character's space. But it is my favorite moment just because the way that you can reach out to a total stranger and bring them into your life and how they become part of family. And also think, too, about how perceptions of individuals can change if you spend enough time with them. Because you can meet someone and automatically make an assumption about who they are. But once you get to know them and spend some time in their shoes a little bit there, you realize they're not so different from you and I. And that is why it's one of my favorite holiday moments in movies. The whole movie is hysterical. It's funny, too, because it is a good heartwarming movie. But there's one scene of Steve Martin using the F word for like a total of like 4 minutes. Cause he's trying to rent a car and his wallet and things gets, I guess, destroyed or messed up. And so he doesn't get a car. So he's at the car rental place and he's just, now I don't know. Have you seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Oh yeah. One of my favorites.
Well, the secretary, the principal secretary in that movie.
Yeah.
She's the one that actually plays the head of the car rental shop, or the clerk at the car rental shop.
Oh, okay.
That Steve Martin is like yelling at, and it's it's really funny, but it's the only time that the F word is ever used in that sequence. And it's the only time that the F word is used a lot in that movie. Otherwise, the movie would have been PG rated.
Oh, really?
it really would have been. But it's just that one sequence of him using the F word. And it's important to the story. It's relevant to the story. And that's the only time. That's the reason why the movie got an R rating. But that's the only thing that gives it the R rating. Otherwise, it's a completely fine movie to watch. In fact, I think I show it to my niece and nephews when they were about, gotta be like 9 or 8. And they were like taken back by the word a little bit there, but I don't know. It didn't scar them or anything like that, so I think they're fine. But yeah, I still think it's a wonderful, heartwarming Christmas moment. Before we do stop with our list, Amanda, did you have any honorable mentions?
Well, I mean, I had other scenes from those movies. And, I think some of my other honorable mentions were more just, like, movies in general versus, like, specific moments.
Okay. Well, let's hear them.
Well, Miracle on 34th Street, White Christmas, and, again, with the special, it's... Going back now, it's so a product of its time, like the 1960s, but Rudolph is always a great one.
Okay.
So.
Great one. All right.
Yeah. Those, I think, would be like my honorable mentions. I definitely got like my favorite Christmas stuff into the top five.
You did inspire me for a double feature.
Oh, what double feature?
Well, this is going to be completely, completely deranged and kind of wrong, but I'm going to watch White Christmas, followed by Black Christmas. That's right. Heartwarming, Bing Crosby musical White Christmas, followed by the Bob Clark horror movie Black Christmas.
So you have seen White Christmas?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I have not seen that. I have not seen Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah, a whole bunch of other holiday ones. For my honorable mentions, and this is one that I was going to put on the list, and I have to mention it, is Die Hard.
Yes.
And the sequence when Hans Gruber, of course, as always, why am I blanking on the guy's name? Right?
Alan Rickman.
God, why? Fuck. DG Valentine of Simplistic Reviews is going to smack me in the head because I totally miss Alan Rickman's name. Yeah, Alan Rickman discovers that one of the bad guys has a sweatshirt. And he pulls it down and reads, "Now I have a machine gun." Ho, ho, ho. Yes, yes. In fact, DG Valentine and the rest of the Simplistic Reviews podcast gang will be like, "Why isn't Die Hard number one? Why isn't Die Hard on the list? You idiot, you jerk of a guy."
It's a great Christmas movie, but I don't know that I would put it in most heartwarming moments from Christmas movies.
When the dad from Family Matters.
Oh, yeah.
He actually stands up and shoots the bad guy, even though he told a story about how he shot a kid and never want to pick up a gun again. gosh, the moment with the kids, when the Bonnie Bedelia slaps William Atherton. Gosh, why can't I remember William Atherton, the bad guy from Ghostbusters, but not Alan Rickman's name? Gosh, I'm horrible.
Because you've got your priorities straight. You need to know Ghostbusters.
My priorities should... Yes, but my priority should not be on William Atherton from Biodome. It's wrong. yeah, other holiday themes right there. Gosh, no, that's kind of really all I had for... I said Elf before. I mentioned that one. Oh, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation was another one that would be on the list, too. The Legend of the Christmas Tree.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the fact, too, when he puts, like... some sort of, like, I think it's, like, Randy Quaid's character put some sort of, like, glide on the sled. The basic glide extra fast. I like that one. Oh, I like the moment when Clark Griswold gets locked up in the attic and sees all the great Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Of him
as
kids.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really sweet part.
Ah, see? Oh, this is good stuff right there. Yeah, I think that's, oh boy, I could have put...
Oh! A Christmas Story!
Oh yeah, that one. Sorry, I don't really care for that one.
Oh, okay, I love it.
I swear, what would you pick from that?
See, that's another one. It's like hard to pick a specific moment, but I really like when the old man does give him the BB gun, and like you can tell, like, I don't know, they sort of have this moment of like, all right, he gets me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, just like a little father-son moment, I think is really sweet.
That's a good one. Okay, fair enough there. I don't know what it is about the movie. I just, probably because it just played a lot.
Well, yeah, 24 hours of A Christmas Story and every year.
I don't know what it is. I just could never get myself into that movie. And I know I'm... probably the only one in the world, maybe two or three of us that don't like that movie, but I don't know, I just found myself very difficult to get into that movie. Yeah, Although I do think it's odd that Bob Clark made a horror film called Black Christmas, and then he follows up with one of the greatest Christmas stories or movies ever made. I think that's just, it'd be kind of like Wes Craven going from like A Nightmare on Elm Street to directing Music of the Heart, like right away. It's very different, and I understand the appeal of it. I do. Other movies I would have picked on there too was Home Alone. I think the sequence with the bird lady is better.
In Home Alone 2.
In Home Alone 2 is better than the one of the other old guy in Home Alone 1. I think it's Brenda Blethyn. I'm not sure actually, but who plays the lady in that. But I think it's a lot more heartwarming scene. I think the acting is better. And yeah. Even though the second one does feature Donald Trump, I still give it better the doubt. All right.
No, I remember loving Home Alone 2 when it came out.
Yeah. No, I think I remember for like one of an early podcast shows we reviewed all 5 Home Alone movies.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so sorry that you watched Beyond 2.
Yes, yep. Oh, it's funny too. Home Alone 3 reminds me a little bit of like Rear Window.
And I've never watched it, to be honest.
You're not really missing much. It's a bad movie. Although it is the first appearance of Scarlett Johansson. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like one of her first movies she ever did was that one when she was about 10 or 12, something like that. Like, probably right before The Horse Whisperer. But yeah, that's a little fun little fact there. Well, I think that's going to kind of wrap up this episode of our favorite holiday movie moments. If you have any favorite moments that you would like to share with us, we definitely want to hear about it. You can definitely check out the site, thatmomentin.com, and look under podcast under Cinema Recall, and we would love to see that list there. But before we do go, Amanda, can you tell the listeners where we can find you and listen to your show and check out all the stuff you did? I mentioned your site, but maybe you can share with us maybe some of your social media links.
Yeah. Like you said, the website is AmandaAgogo.com, and that's where Amanda's picture show Agogo is, and also my other podcast, Culture Pop Agogo. And then social media on Twitter, it's at Amanda's Pick Show. And then I'm also on Facebook and Instagram under the full Amanda's Picture Show Agogo. And yeah, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and all sorts of different podcatchers. So we're probably there if you have a podcatcher of choice.
All right. Again, thank you. And as always, you can listen Well, as always, you can listen to the Cinema Recall podcast on like Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, Player FM. But just go on to the site, thatmomentin.com. We are on Twitter. We are at @cinema_recall. Facebook, just type in Cinema Recall. Follow us there. For our next episode of Cinema Recall, I'm not quite sure what we have planned. I do know we're hoping to do our discussion of the 1985 movie Clue. We're still working out some guests here, but hoping to have on one of the hosts from the True Bromance podcast to talk about that movie with us. I know we got another episode of Terror Tuesdays coming up. We also are booked in there an interview with the director of Driverette, Henry Burial. I'm gonna mess with the guy's last name. I apologize about that. But yeah, the director of Driverette will be on an upcoming episode. So look for that. And that's it for now. And I hope you all have a great and safe holiday week. And we will be back. All right. Take care.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.